Welcome to this podcast of sermons at CUNA United Methodist Church.
A reading from the Book of Acts of Apostles, the second chapter.
Lectura del libro de los Hechos de los Apóstoles, capítulo 2.
When Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place.
El día de Pentecostes, todos los creyentes estaban reunidos en un mismo lugar.
Suddenly, a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting.
De repente, se oyó un ruido desde el cielo, parecido al estruendo en un viento fuerte, y empujó que llenó la casa donde estaban sentados.
They saw what seemed to be individual flames of a fire alighting on each one of them.
Luego, algo parecido a unas llamas y lenguas de fuego aparecieron y se posaron sobre cada uno de ellos.
They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak.
Y todos los presentes fueron llenos del Espíritu Santo y comenzaron a hablar en otros idiomas conforme el Espíritu Santo les daba esa capacidad.
And from the Acts chapter 10.
Y los Hechos capítulo 10.
Peter said, I am learning that God doesn't show partiality to one group of people over another.
Pedro dijo, veo con claridad que Dios no muestra favoritismo.
Rather, in every nation, whoever worships him and does what is right is acceptable to him.
En cada nación, él acepta a los que le temen y hacen lo correcto.
This is a message of peace he sent to the Israelites by proclaiming the good news through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all.
Este es el mensaje de la buena noticia para el pueblo de Israel, que hay paz con Dios por medio de Jesucristo, quien es Señor de todo.
May we receive a blessing in the hearing of these words.
Que recibamos una bendición al escuchar estas palabras.
Amen.
Thank you.
What a wonderful journey we have been on with our caterpillars and our butterflies. And we have discovered ourselves in their story. We started in the darkness of a cocoon, heard the call to emerge, a call from darkness that may be comfortable or may be sorrowful. And then we opened up in the light, we unwrapped, we woke up, we unfolded, claiming new possibilities. We let go, leaving behind what we didn't need. And then we flew, and today we send on the journey to the places that God will call us, the places we will go. We end our Emerge series not at a destination, but at a journey. The transformation has happened. The caterpillar is now a butterfly, and it is ready for a journey. Pilgrimage teaches us this well, that even though the path leads to a specific place, that God is found on the journey, as much on the journey as in the destination. And arrival is more of a celebration of all the ways God has been there all along. Our spiritual life is a journey. It's about pilgrimage, about facing God, about walking towards God, moving towards God, not expecting to arrive, at least not on this side of the grave. I was baptized when I was 27, and I often say that that's when Jesus got a hold of me. I had grown up, I'm not going to church. I went to church with my grandparents, but my family didn't go to church. And whenever I was with my grandparents, I went to church with them. And at 27, things changed. I would say that I came to faith and I was baptized. But the truth is, God had been there all along. God had been there calling me, pouring grace on me all along. What happened at 27 was I recognized that God had been there all along. It was like crossing a line. And that realization changed me. I became so interested in God. I wanted to learn and to go to every class and read every book and to go to church. Recently, my son told me I was a Bible geek. Woohoo! I made Bible geek status. I loved everything about it. I was so thirsty for God, and I wanted to know it all. I wanted to know about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and Scripture and church. I got a master's degree. I got another master's degree. And I looked forward to when I would arrive at that place of knowing all of it or most of it. Years went by. I kept learning and learning, and I didn't get the sense that I was getting any closer to learning all of it. In fact, like many of you who are experts in your field, the more you learn, the more you realize how much you don't know. That has certainly been my experience in faith life. I actually got a little bummed out, thinking, well, in this life, I'm just never going to, you know, arrive. I'm never going to have God figured out and have Scripture all figured out and be able to quote a verse every time something comes up. That expectation that I would someday know all of it or close to all of it was never going to happen. And I was disappointed. When I was a young adult, life was about building a career and building a family, building a life. And I worked on that. But you know what? I never really arrived at that goal because things kept changing. Work changed, family life changed, and I am now at a stage in my life at 56 years old where I am closer, I have closer to death than to birth. I have fewer days ahead of me than behind me. And life is no longer about building something in the future. And, God willing, there's a lot of years left to live. And so now I am no longer disappointed that I am never going to arrive at knowing it all. Instead, I am delighted that there is so much to know and so much to experience about God that it is going to fill the entire rest of my life plus a whole bunch more. And so today I am delighted of all of that to look forward to. And I want to tell you something else I'm delighted about. That faith is not so much about knowing about God, but walking with God. And that actually requires no preparation, just walking with. Every day, normal life, together, with God, on this journey. That's actually the arrival, except that it's not the arrival, it's the journey. When we are with God, every place we go is better. And the church has long been on this journey. It started when Jesus rose from the dead. That was a big deal. That was a super big deal. And those disciples, Jesus' apprentices, it took them a bit to comprehend what had happened, to accept what had happened, but they did. And then Jesus ascended into heaven, we are told. And Jesus said, I must, so the advocate comes, the one we call the Holy Spirit. And on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit arrived in a big way. They were all together. They were together, physically, not virtually. They were together. And there was a sound, this enormous sound, a roar of a driving wind, or for us, an airplane flying too low. And then little pieces of fire went all over the place, little flames, and they came to rest on the heads of those apprentices who were now sent as apostles. They began to speak. Their hearts were filled with the Holy Spirit and the love of God in languages that were native to everyone gathered there. And on Pentecost, there would have been a lot of them because it wasn't only Hebrew speakers who were in Jerusalem at Pentecost. There were a whole lot of people, not of Jewish descent, not of Hebrew descent, who were followers of God. In the scripture, they're called God-fearers. So they were from all over, from different different ethnicities, and they spoke different languages. Have you ever been filled with the Holy Spirit where you can feel a breath not your own fill you with energy and love and enthusiasm so that you just have to say it? You just have to tell someone. Well, Pentecost was amazing and wonderful, but it was not the end. It was the beginning of the journey. It was the beginning of this human community we call the church. It started with those learners, those apprentices becoming apostles, preaching in every language. And part of that journey has meant constant change. Constant change. Change keeps happening. The one constant is change. And constant reformation. It happened early on, recorded in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, when Peter realized that God showed no partiality. You see, those God-fearers who came to Jerusalem to worship God, they were not accepted in the community. They were considered outsiders. They were allowed to worship God at a distance, but they were not welcomed into that community of the chosen people. They were called Gentiles, outsiders. And Peter realized how wrong that separation was. That's when he was saying God shows no partiality, that those God-fearers were actually part, needed to be accepted. That God accepted all people, regardless of their, if they were of Jewish descent. God accepts everyone who worships God, regardless of their heritage. God accepts all people who do right, regardless of their ancestry. That was a big moment in the church. It was our first Reformation, and there have been a lot more since then. Those reformations, those times of new life of metamorphosis when walls were brought down. That was when the walls were brought down between Jews and Gentiles. There's been a lot more big moments. There was a big moment in the Methodist Church when we stopped being a holiness society of the Church of England and became the Methodist Church. And walls were brought down between ordained and lay. It was a big moment when the Methodist Church took a stance against slavery in the 1800s. And walls were brought down between black and white. It was a big moment in the Methodist Church when we ordained women, recognizing that God can speak through whoever God wants to, and God does not only choose one gender. And walls were brought down between male and female. And it was a big moment in the Methodist Church when we recognized and took a stand on the acceptability of LGBTQ folks. And walls were brought down between straight and queer. Every wall that we build to separate ourselves, God is going to bring down. So what walls do you see God working on right now? What's God bringing down right now? Maybe the walls that separate citizens and immigrants? Or walls that separate rich and poor? Or walls that separate Democrats and Republicans? Or walls that separate English-speaking and Spanish-speaking? When walls are brought down, gotten out of our way, then we can be together. And that's where we find God. Faith is a journey that we do together with God. And it always brings us to reformation, to transformation, to new life. Well, John Newton went through a transformation, went through a metamorphosis. He was born in 1725 in London. His father was a ship captain. His mother died of tuberculosis at seven, when he was seven. By the time he was 11, he was joining his dad on ships. And when he came of age, he joined a merchant ship himself, and then at 18, he was pressed into the Royal Navy. That's a euphemism for he was kidnapped, thrown on a ship, and forced to work. We call that slavery. Well, he escaped and got on a merchant ship that was headed for West Africa. That ship was part of what historians call the triangular trade, where ships took goods from Europe, went down to West Africa, traded them for people, took the people over to the Americas, sold them, bought sugar, loaded up with sugar, took the sugar back to Europe, sold the sugar, off we go, triangular trade. Well, so John got on this slaver ship, they called him, headed for West Africa. Didn't make a lot of friends, apparently, because they left him in West Africa with a slave dealer, and he was treated like a slave. Again, took 3 years before he was rescued. As he's headed back to Britain, he had an experience that there was this terrible storm, and he prayed to God, and the storm subsided. And in that moment, he felt a call to faith. Now, whether God was waiting for him to pray to stop the storm or it was a coincidence doesn't matter. It started his faith life. He started reading the Bible and learning and going to church. He started avoiding cussing and gambling and drinking, but he kept up working on slave ships. He stayed in the slave trade. He became a captain himself of ships in the slave trade. God kept working on him. Eventually, he saw other people being treated as slaves like he had been treated as a slave, and he left the slave trade. He also felt a call to ordained ministry. It took a long time, but at 39, he was ordained a priest of the Church of England. And he was a good preacher. People came to hear him preach. The church grew. He was a friend of dissenters, we are told, like that Holiness Society who called themselves Methodists. And he spoke out against the slave trade. He became a voice in the abolition of slavery. He said, "I was once an active instrument in a business at which my heart now shudders." He got involved in politics and became a key figure in the passage of the Slave Trade Act of 1807, which abolished slavery in Britain. When he later looked back on his faith journey, on that first experience of Jesus, he said, "I cannot consider myself to have been a believer in the full sense until a considerable time afterwards." It was a journey for him. That slave trader went through a metamorphosis. He went from trading slaves to actively working to abolish slavery. He also wrote hymns. His most famous hymn was published in 1779. Let's see if you know it. We'll do an English verse and then a Spanish verse. Spiritual life is a journey, and we change on that journey. The world was changed by John Newton's ongoing conversion. The world changes in our ongoing conversion. It's the spiritual life, the life of faith, metamorphosis, resurrection, new life. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is preached almost always by our pastor, Reverend Mia Crosswaite. CUNA United Methodist Church is a community on a mission to make disciples for the transformation of the world. To support this podcast and the missional priorities of this church, go to cunaumc.org and click on Give. Any amount helps. And if you're kind enough to share your contact information with us, we'll continually send you things.